It's Thursday, the 13th of January. This is the Sodcast. This is episode 23.
Absolute silence as deep in the undergrowth of North County Dublin, we're recording the Sodcast.
Has anybody killed a hiding airplane, please?
We're trying to record the Sodcast over here!
Welcome to the loudest gardening podcast in the world, the Sodcast, with your host, Peter Donegan.
Yes, welcome to episode 23 of the Sodcast, the loudest gardening podcast in the world. I have, of course, got a brilliant and amazing show lined up for you this week. I do, of course, have my This Week on the Blog section. I have my links for the podcast, all of the bits and bobs that I might mention throughout. They may have been old posts that were written a while ago, but it saves me explaining. I say photosynthesis, you go, what's he talking about? Should one of them pop up. I have my images for the podcast, the bits and bobs that will help me keep on track in line, something I find the odd time a little bit difficult to do, especially when I am talking. And of course, I have the This Week's Oddities. Later on, I'll be talking to the wonderful Jane Powers about what you, I and everybody else should be doing in the garden this coming week. First up, if you need to get in contact with me, you can do so in the following ways. info@donneganlandscaping.com is the email address. Twitter, I am at Donegan Gardens, and also via Facebook. Did you know I am facebook.com/Donegan Landscaping. Last week on the blog, or this week on the blog, my apologies, I was talking to you about Ireland's greatest garden group. We have the January outing. It takes place on the 30th of January. We are, of course, heading to the wonderful Skerries Mills, a place I haven't been to in over 2 years, and I'm really looking forward to getting back. There's a nice group of names down there. If you're interested in going along, just go ahead to the blog post, pop your name down and say, I'm in. There's another post up there, which I have titled Mammoth Onions. It's a conversation that came up with Jane while I was talking to her this morning about what you and I should be doing in the garden. And I suppose I got a little bit... I became very, very intrigued by it, and I just wanted to know a little bit more. It became to the point that when I'd mentioned it last week, a couple of people said, see, I bought a packet of seeds, you see. A couple of people said, look, I'd be into doing that as well, and so on and so forth. So I've kind of, my suggestion to you is look, go read the post, listen to what Jane has to say, and then come back. Because if you're interested, here's my suggestion, or here's my 2 cents worth. And I reckon if 10 or 15 or 5 of us decided to grow these together, and then in some form of an online communal kind of a way, managed to amalgamate all our photographs and have a sort of a, not a competition between us, but a kind of how are you getting on? You know, I've never grown them before, so we're all starting on the same keel. You might say, what do you think? Make sense? I'd be into it. Let me know if you're interested. Pop your name down as a comment and let's see how we can go from there. If you are doing it, as I said, you know, it needs to happen within the next kind of 7-10 days, essentially. Okay, moving straight on. Images for the podcast. Yes, the weather has been so ruddy contrary. It is infallible. It's been snow comes and goes. My office floods. Pause it there because I do need to say a huge thanks. When my office did flood last week, wasn't it? I rang a friend of mine, Aidan Stell. Aidan runs a company called Priority Engineering. They do automatic gates. And within about 5 minutes, Aidan was up with a water vacuum. And by God, did we take it out by the gazillion gallon load. Phenomenal. But he also stayed with me, you know, for the next 3 hours afterwards in order to make sure that I got through the essentially the mess that I slop that I was literally in. The carpets were just about floating. So huge thanks. Priority Engineering is the company. I'll put the link up there. Go take a look, see what you think. Straight onto it. I did go and paint my gates at the front of my house. Now, where I live is kind of a little bit rural. So whilst there are certain bits of garden furniture, as you're well aware from reading the blog over the course of last year, that I would paint red, like my benches and some trees and satellites and bits and bobs, the front of my house, or the roadside of my house, is kind of feels fairly much all around it. And I like the old kind of country style gating farmer's fence, you know, sucking a pipe, leaning on it a little bit. I like that kind of style of a look, and I wanted to keep that, but I hadn't painted the fencing and the gates in about 3-4 years, and it's an investment is what it is. So what I bought, and you'll see a pot of it there without mentioning any company names, what I bought was a pot of what is called yacht varnish. And yacht varnish, it lasts about 5 years as versus, you know, having to paint it every single year. It's a little bit more expensive, but I hadn't painted mine literally in 5 years. And you can see the colour difference between the posts and the bit of fencing on the right had been done. The gate on the left hadn't been touched at all. The next thing I've also done, actually, while I'm on that part, is I actually cut the hedges there. I think it was last week I cut the hedging across the front of it. And what's going to happen now in the next couple of weeks is that the daffodils that I've planted into the banks either side of my road, they're going to start to pop up through, and all of a sudden I'm going to get this old hawthorny hedge, old farmer's gate, daffodil bulbs kind of coming up through, and they're literally just popped into the lawn, as I've said to you. You know, really, really easy to do if you haven't planted your bulbs. I know some of you still have them sitting in the shed. Go out, dig a hole, chuck them into it. Okay, it's not that simple, but relatively easy to do, and it does look well. The second photograph, I don't know why this one is up. I'd replace some bits of fence into the back of my garden, and with the excess timber, it's chopped up and it's used to heat my office. This is the ultimate in recycling. The third photograph, this is a conversation that came up with a guy called Simon Monk, Farmer Simon Monk. Isn't that what you call yourself, Simon? And Simon was talking to me about Mypex. Mypex is a trade name, but essentially it's a semi-permeable membrane. It's a black plastic that people put on or over their soil in order to keep weeds down. The question that was raised at the time was, should you put bark mulch on top of the black plastic? And I kind of said no. I found it a little bit unnecessary. It was like putting two layers of concrete down or two roofs on a house. Because what happens is the mulch starts to break down. And once the mulch breaks down, it turns into compost. Same as your compost heap, same as your mulch heap. And the weeds will germinate into it. I mean, I've got stones coming up my driveway and the grass will germinate into that. I've got grass growing in the gutters of my house, which I need to do in the next week or two. So the only thing I find the black plastic, personally me, I find that the black plastic is really good help for, is if you're putting down pebble, the black plastic will stop the soil coming up on top of the stones, your beautifully decorative stones, and will stop them turning all manky dirty, for want of a better description. If you're saying to me you've got shrubs in a bed and you just wish to put some bark down, then I wouldn't invest the money in putting black plastic in between the two. The fourth photograph is the cornice. It's a red, it's a plant, I suppose, that's famed more so for when it's not in leaf than when it is. It's a beautiful, burning, burning red. It's all over the motorways in Ireland at this moment in time. It also comes in yellow and bright golden greens. And that leads me straight into a conversation with the wonderful Miss Jane Powers. This is the conversation we had about what you and I should be doing in the garden for the next coming week. Take a listen and see how we get on. First guest of 2011, Miss Jane Powers, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Peter. I'm grand, thank you very much.
Jane, on the subject of January in the garden, we're good to plant at this moment in time, contrary to what you might say mainstream believe.
Well, I wouldn't be planting an awful lot at the moment, but I would be doing a lot of tidying up. But there's one thing I would say, and that is that if the soil is really wet and waterlogged, just don't walk on it. Please don't walk on it, because you're going to compress the soil down, and that's really bad for the whole structure. Because soil is like a big, huge sponge, and it's really wet now. And if you it can cope with all the water if you just let it get on with its, you know, with its business. But if you walk on it now, it'll just compress it down, and it's really bad for it, especially in the areas where you've got clay soil. But anyway, if your soil isn't waterlogged, or if you can work on it from, say, a path or that kind of thing, then, you know, what I'd say doing now would be to be clearing away all that awful sort of debris that happened after the snow. You know, all these plants that looked kind of half decent before the snow came, they were just turned into kind of awful brown rags. You can clear all that stuff away from herbaceous plants. And in fact, a lot of plants, a lot of gardens will be having weeds now, even though, you know, you wouldn't think that you'd be having weeds growing in January, but there are some weeds that germinate at really quite low temperatures. So getting a head start on those, look out for your bulbs that are coming up. If you have maybe crocuses and snowdrops, those will be coming up. And I'd say, you know, weed around those and clear around those. And a lot of people will just be throwing that debris into, say, their brown bin or onto their compost heap or whatever. But if you have a big garden and you've got sort of shrubs and things like that, you might just sort of tuck that garden debris nicely under the shrubs, where it'll be doing a good service to all the little critters that live in the soil. So you're kind of making a mulch of kind of old dead bits of weeds and plants and stuff like that. It can be a little bit unsightly, but if you've got somewhere you can tuck it away, then it'll just eventually rot back down into the soil. And before it rots down, it'll prove to be a lovely habitat for all kinds of creepy crawlies. And there'll be good creepy crawlies and bad creepy crawlies, but then the good creepy crawlies will eat the bad ones. And then the blackbirds and the thrushes will come along and eat you know, critters as well. So it's good for the whole biodiversity of the garden.
But you wouldn't be planting at all, Jane? Or would it be a case of no, actually, but I would, like, if you're in a small garden and you're not, you know, chucking your weeds at the back of it and you need to be pernickety clean, is it a case of...
I suppose you could plant trees and shrubs and things like that now, but I don't know, the ground is so wet and horrible at the moment. I don't know, I just think I wouldn't. But would you?
Well, I would, but, like, in reality, there's only a certain pocket of a window for planting trees and... you might say bare root shrubs and root ball shrubs. I mean, you know, what's the answer there? I know what I do when I'm planting is I have a nice big sheet of marine ply and I make sure that I don't damage the ground around it.
Yes, I suppose, I mean, I just think the ground is, it's quite wet at the moment and I wouldn't want to be digging it or working in it. But, I mean, as you say, it is the time for planting bare root shrubs and trees, and it's the, you know, it's the dormant season, so that's when you should be planting these things. But I don't know, the ground just seems a little bit abused at the moment. But I think if you have to do it, you have to do it. But as you say, the thing is to take precautions.
Well, my alarm clock in my head kind of tends to go when I'm traveling. You know, if you're driving down any of the motorways at this moment in time, you'll see the corners, the dogwoods, the yellow and the reds, you know, bursting this beautiful colour at this moment in time. And as soon as I see that, that to me is the time to look pockets in before they come into leaf, before they go green as versus yellow red. It really is a case of, look, that's your window to move trees to. And I've got two oak trees that are still young enough that I don't want them to get to that size. I don't want to let them go another into their fourth season. And I know I have to get them moved. So I know I'll have them done before this Sunday. I also know I've got to protect the soil. But my garden is probably a lot different to yours in its setup.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's actually a lovely way of gauging when you should be planting things, that, you know, when you see the colored stemmed dogwoods and willows and things like that, when you see them doing their thing, you know that that's a good time to plant.
And a huge thanks to Jane, I have to say, for taking the time to talk to me. It really was a pleasure. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll have Jane back on the show. Straight into this week's oddities. Yes, they are an eclectic bunch. I did say that earlier on. At Biodata Centre, they're Biodiversity Ireland on Twitter. They sent out a really nice link on an 8-year-old publishes a scientific bee study. I found this one phenomenal. It's quite intriguing. Do take a read, see what you think, and let me know how you get on. My next one, the Irish foghorns, particularly for those out in Dunleary. This is Jane Power's country. A lot of people are saying glad to see them gone. Silence is golden. A lot of people say they'll miss them after, 20-something years of them? I put up a poll, Daddy Poll, just to see at the moment. 100% of you seem to say that you'll miss them and you're sorry that they're gone. Moving on straight from there. Oh yeah, Made in Hollywood. Fran sent me a link for, it's at Higher Containers, and they have polystyrene container gardening. It's interesting. It's Fran's speciality as well. If you've ever seen the Peter Donegan name done in polystyrene, that was done by the great Fran Hollywood, and that actually is his real name. Courtesy of at Boho. That's Angel Luis Boho is his full name. Angel sent me a link to the Living Walls. There's two of them he sent me. One was in Spain and one was in Paris. One is indoor, one is outdoor. I'd seen one last year in London when I was at Nokia World. Very, very intrigued by these two, I have to say, and the photographs are phenomenal. Kevin O'Reilly sent me a note saying he was thinking about turning his entire garden to an allotment. I spoke about this one with Jane Perez to see what she had to say. Here's another one for you, Jane. A guy called Kevin O'Reilly. Kevin, I think he's a friend of a friend of mine called Peter. And Kevin is 15, 16 years of age, and he was telling me he's talking about turning his entire back garden to an allotment.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'd say Kevin sounds incredibly ambitious and very energetic, and I think that's great. I applaud his energy and his enthusiasm. It's fantastic. However, and I hate to say however, because I don't want to dampen anybody's enthusiasm, but could he maybe just turn it into really part of it, into a small allotment, rather than turning the whole lot of it into an allotment? So if you could maybe just take one bed and make it, say, maybe, what should we say, 5 meters by 2 meters, would you say?
I'd say about 5 by 2, 5 by 3, somewhere in red
there. 5 by 2 meters, yeah. So if you maybe took one bed and turned that into an allotment. In fact, don't let me change that. Don't make it 5 by 2 meters. Make it 5 by 1.2 meters, because that way he can reach across it from one side to the other, so he never needs to stand on the soil. And if he could just work really hard in this 1 year on that one bed and, you know, use it to learn how to do everything and do it really well in one bed, rather than, say, having, you know, an area 4 times that large or 5 times that large or 6 times, or however big his back garden is, because this is what happens with gardening, is that people get very enthusiastic and they get, you know, this massive surges of energy at the beginning of the year. And then, unfortunately, what happens is they miss a couple of weekends and, you know, the weeds grow and they get discouraged. You know, the pests come, the slugs come along and eat this and that. And, you know, the aphids go and suck all the life juice out of something else. And it's really hard to work with a large area when you're starting off. So, Kevin, I think, you know, it's a great thing that you want to do, but just start a little bit smaller than you think you can cope with.
And a huge thanks to Jane once again for taking the time to talk to me on that one. I have to say, Kevin, Bula Bus on War, huge round of applause. I think the energy, like Jane said, it's so admirable. And do keep me posted on how you get on. I know I'll be talking to you soon anyway. And finally, I don't really have an on finally section, but I did have a couple of people talking to me this week, and they were saying, not that they wanted to, but they were asking how come the Sodcast isn't sponsored or isn't being sponsored anymore. Well, there's no real, I don't really have the answers to that. What I have done, which may give you a better insight into it, is I did publish all the statistics for 2010 for the blog, the web, the site, the anything else that I do that is online. And that aside, essentially, as I said within that post, I am still just a gardener. For that and anything else you want to get in touch with me about, you can do so via email info@donneganlandscaping.com. I'm on Twitter @DonneganGardens, and I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/DonneganLandscaping. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me. Do, no matter what you do, have a great weekend in the great outdoors. Bye for now.